الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue reading. The author, he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى، سؤال question: ما ضد توحيد الأسماء والصفات؟ ما ضد توحيد الأسماء والصفات؟ What is the opposite of توحيد الأسماء والصفات؟ What is the opposite of the oneness of Allah's names and attributes? Al-Jawab, the answer, the author, he says, Rahimahullah, ضِدُّهُ الْإِلْحَادُ ضِدُّهُ الْإِلْحَادُ فِي أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَهُوَ ثَلَاثَةُ أَنْوَاعِ وَهُوَ ثَلَاثَةُ أَنْوَاعِ He said, Rahimahullah, it's opposite, the opposite of Tawheed al-Asma'i wa-Sifat, to sing wa Allah for his rights with regards to his beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. The opposite of that is called al-ilhad, deviation. Regarding Allah's names, attributes, and his signs, the signs, wa ayatihi, yani his verses in his book, his signs, and in the ayat al-shar'iyya, the legislation. The legislation, it comes in three types, he says. It comes in three types. So the opposite of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat is al-Ilhad biha, al-Ilhad bil-Asma wa Sifat. Al-Ilhad, it means al-Mail wal-Udul, linguistically. Al-Mail wal-Udul, you need to turn away from something, to turn into another direction, and to lean away or incline away from something. So this is the meaning in the Arabic language. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his sunnah in the burial of the deceased, is that they'll make a lahad. They'll make a lahad. And it's from the same term. From the same term. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Lana al-lahad wa lahum al-shaq. Lana al-lahad wa lahum al-shaq. And whenever the grave is dug, there's more than one way to prepare it. There's more than one way to prepare it. So whenever the grave is made, the hole is prepared, then it will be facing the Qibla, facing the Qibla. So they will prepare a large hole going down, and then in the direction of the Qibla, they will go inside and cut out a hole from the wall. Cut out a hole from the wall. And then lay the deceased on the right side, facing the dirt inside, facing the Qibla. Facing the Qibla, and then they'll set up stones on the back of him, closing the wall. This is called lahad. This is the way the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was buried. And this is what he mentioned is the sunnah and the way of the believers. Although both ways are lawful, but he mentioned that the lahad is for us and the shaq is for them, and for the Jews and Christians and the others. The shaq is whenever they dig a hole in the ground, and then inside the hole at the bottom, they dig a smaller hole. And then they lay the deceased on his side in that hole. They lay the deceased on the side in that hole. You can picture it in your mind. They dig a big hole in the ground, they need this, the rectangle, and then inside, at the bottom of that one, they'll dig another one smaller. So it's a hole with a hole inside of it. And then they lay the deceased on his right side and then cover the top of that up with boards or something and then put the dirt on top. So that's called shiq. The point is that the lahad here is, and you dig the hole down and then you lean forward. Then you move forward away from the initial hole inside the wall. So linguistically it's called a lahad because it's going away from the initial direction. So this is the meaning of the term in the Arabic language, al-mail wal-udul an al-shay. Al-mail is inclination, and udul likewise, what it means here is to be inclined or to turn away from something. So what is intended at al-had bi asma'i Allahi al-husna wa sifatihi al-ula subhanahu wa ta'ala al-mail wal-udul biha an al-haq al-thabit laha. Al-mail wal-udul biha an al-haq al-thabit laha. That a person, waliyadu billah, he would deviate, he would be inclined and turn away from the right that those names and attributes deserve. You incline away from the rights that they deserve. the rice that they deserve. Understand? So this is what it means to deviate, and to be inclined away from the truth with regards to the rights of the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-maylu wal-udulu biha, yani bil-asma' al-husna, an al-haqqi al-thabiti laha. Laha. So the question now is, ma huwa al-haqq al-thabit laha? What is the right that's affirmed for the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we must not deviate with, that we must not turn away or be inclined away from the truth with regards to? The people of knowledge, as they mentioned, al-imanu biha wa ta'zimuha. You must believe in them and you must honor them and magnify them. You must honor them, magnify them, revere them, show the utmost respect. وَمْرَارُهَا كَمَا جَاءَتْ وَالْإِمَانُ بِهَا كَمَا وَرَدَتْ. That you affirm them as they have come and you believe them and you believe in them in the manner they are mentioned in the text. You affirm them as they have come, the apparent clear meaning in the Arabic language, and you believe in them and you believe in them as they have come in the text. When أَثْبَاتُ وَإِثْبَاتُهَا كَمَا أَثْبَتَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَصْحَابُهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَمَنْ تَبِعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. That you affirm them in the manner the messenger affirmed them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his companions, radiyallahu anhum, and those who followed them precisely in truth. This is what it means to believe in them and to honor them, to magnify them, to hold them in high regards, and to believe them in the manner that they have come, and to affirm them in the manner that they're mentioned, to establish them the way the messenger established them. To believe in them and affirm them in that way, in the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, and those who followed them precisely, So al-khuruj in hadhihi tariqah yakunu bi umur, going away from this path, yani lil-had, it will be in a number of ways, bi tahrif wa ta'til wa takyif wa tamthil, by distorting the meanings or distorting the words. Or by denying the meanings. Or that Allah is described with them. Or by resembling them to the creation. Or by trying to imagine how the attributes are. So if a person were to do one of these things, then definitely he went away from the truth that's required to establish from the rights of these names. There are four affairs: التحريف والتعطيل والتكييف والتمثيل. This is how a person will go away from the proper understanding and giving these beautiful names their rights. التحريف is to make distortion. The deviant from the Jahmiyyah and those upon their way, and especially in these days like the Asha'ira, they call tahrif ta'wil. They call it ta'wil, which has a good meaning, and it means tafsir, to interpret. But their ta'wil is not tafsir, it's tahrif. It's a misinterpretation. They misinterpret it, and they take the meaning away from the apparent meaning in the Arabic language. And they use their intellect to come up with the meaning that they believe to be suitable for Allah Azza wa Jal wa liyadu billah. It's called a tahrif. No matter what they call it, it's called a tahrif, distortion, distorting the meanings or distorting the words by changing the letter or by changing the i'rab or the context or by changing the meaning, And then a ta'thil is to deny, the meaning, is to deny the attribute, to deny the meaning. And this happens in many ways. And of course, the most direct way is to say, no, he doesn't have the attribute. But those who ascribe to this ummah, they will not do that. How will they deny the meanings? By making tahrif. They'll make tahrif. They'll distort the meaning. They'll distort the text. They'll distort the word. They'll distort the word, or by changing the i'rab, or by changing the context, or by changing the word itself, adding letters or taking letters away, like the Jews, وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَنْ مَوَاضِعِهِ Or they distort the meaning. They say, no, it doesn't mean that, it means this. What do you mean it means that? But in the Arabic language, it means this. And they do it in this manner, like this. So by distorting the meaning, they have actually denied the attribute. by distorting the meaning that actually denied the attribute. Like, for example, Allah, he says, بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ, rather both of his hands are outstretched. So the deviant, what did they say? The yad here is al-quwwa. بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ, يعني بَلْ قُوَّتَاهُ, his two strengths are outstretched, right? Like the ni'matahu, his two blessings are outstretched. This is what they said that it means. So therefore, based upon that, Allah, he doesn't have hands. Because hands doesn't mean hands that we know in the Arabic language. And we know that this doesn't resemble the hands of the creation, right? And in a manner befitting his majesty, said, no. Hands doesn't mean hands. Hands means blessing. Rather, his two blessings are outstretched. Or it means power, his two powers. Huh? مَا مَنَاكَ عَنْ تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقَتُ بِيَدَيَّ. What prohibited you, O Iblis, from prostrating before the one I created with my two hands? They said, two hands, بِقُوَّتَيَّ, with my two powers. With my two powers. You understand? So therefore, Allah, he doesn't have hands, because hands means powers. Power, like this. So they have, in reality, their distortion of the text led them to deny the attribute. You understand? And the reason why they distort the text is because
trying to flee from giving these
Because first they fell into the other affair, that is tashbih. They made tashbih. They cannot understand these attributes except as they have seen in the creation. If one of the attributes of Allah is mentioned, and that particular attribute is shared in the creation, and the creation is also described with that same attribute, each one accordingly, right? Then they can't understand those attributes except as they see in the creation. So they resemble them to the creation. You say, hand like my hand? No, he doesn't have hand like my hand, which is true. He doesn't have hand like my hand. He doesn't have, subhanAllah, he doesn't have a hand like your hand. But he doesn't have a hand like any hand. He doesn't have a hand like a hand, like the hand of a clock either. Barakallahu feek, you understand that? He doesn't have a hand like the hand of a clock either. He doesn't have the hand like the hand of a person or the hand of any creation. Laysa kamithlihi shay. There's nothing like unto him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they flee from what they perceive in their mind to be tashbih, to be resembling Allah to the creation. So they say, no, he doesn't have hands like we have hands, so hands doesn't mean hands. Because the only hands we know is the hands on our hands. Right? The only hands we know is these hands right here, and Allah, he doesn't have hands like these hands right here, so hands doesn't mean hands. So what does hands mean? Hands means power, or hands means ni'mah, or hands means this, or hands means that. So in the end, they wind up saying it, not directly, that Allah, he doesn't have hands. You understand? So this is the case. So we did not distort the meaning, nor do we deny the attributes. Rather, we affirm them in the manner befitting the majesty of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the manner befitting the majesty of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we do not resemble them to the creation. And we do not try to imagine how they are. Try to imagine how they are. You understand that? So to imagine how they are, like comparing them to the creation, this is a takyif that's actually tashbih. Or maybe somebody will try to imagine in his mind, not something like in the creation, like distinct something new. Oh, Allah is like that, or his hands are like that. That's takyif without tashbih. So the takyif, sometimes it's got tashbih, and the takyif, sometimes it doesn't have tashbih. You understand? He's trying to imagine something, so okay, hands like the hands on this one or that one, something he's seen in the creation. So he's now imagining how it is and resembling it to the creation. Or if he's going beyond that, not even thinking about anything in the creation, but he's trying to think how it may be in his mind without resembling it to anything in the creation, this is takif. This is takif alone, you understand? So the one who makes tashbih, he's making takif. But not every takif is tashbih. Understand that? So we don't make tahrif. We don't make ta'fil. We don't make takif. We don't make tamthil. What do? We make ithbat bila tashbih. We make al-ithbat bila tashbih. Ithbatun bila tashbih. Wa tanzihun bila ta'fil. This is the way of Ahl Sunnah. Ithbatun bila tashbih. We affirm without resembling. We affirm the attributes that Allah affirmed for himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, affirmed for him without resembling them to the creation. Wa tanzihun bila ta'fil. And we free Allah. We free Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from any deficiency or weakness or fault or shortcoming or any resemblance to the creation without denying the attributes. Without denying the attributes. So the deviant, what do? They they are the mushabbiha, they affirm the attributes. Those who resemble Allah to His creation, they say His hand is like our hands, or His hands are like this, His hands are like that. They affirm the attribute, but they go to extremes and they liken it to the creation. This is not allowed. This is not allowed. You understand? And then there are others, the mu'attila, on the other end, on the other extremes. The mu'attila from the Jahmiyyah and those upon their way, those who deny the attribute, however way they deny it, they glorify Allah and they free Him from deficiency or defect, but they go to extremes that leads them to deny the attribute. You understand? So they have tanzih, but they have that tanzih leads them to ta'thil. Ahlul Sunnah is in the middle between these affairs. We make ithbat, but we don't make tashbih. And we make tanzih, but we don't make ta'thil. We affirm the attributes, we don't resemble them to the creation whatsoever. The evidence upon that, laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. You know this verse, right? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There's nothing like unto Him, and He is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. Negation and affirmation. So we affirm the attributes that He affirmed for Himself, and His messenger affirmed for Himself, Allah, but we don't resemble Him to the creation. Why? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ السَّمِيعُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. So there's nothing that resembles Him or comparable to Him. There's nothing like Him whatsoever. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ. So he affirmed these attributes for Himself. So we affirm them without resembling them. We affirm them without resembling them. So whenever we affirm them without resembling them, we say, كَمَا يَلِيقُ بِجَلَالِهِ وَعَظَمَتِهِ, in a manner befitting His Majesty and glory, Subhanahu wa Taala. He has hands. He has a face. He has feet. He has fingers. تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. He has knowledge. He has mercy. He has life. He has wisdom, and then He has power, authority. He has a will, مَشِيئَة, يَرَادَة, in the manner befitting His Majesty Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Not like anything in the creation. Not like the life in the creation. Not like the knowledge of the creation. Not like the hearing of the creation. Not like the seeing of the creation. Not like the mercy of the creation. Wadih? Ithbatun bila tashbih. Ithbatun bila tashbih. Wa tanzihun bila ta'thil. And we make tanzih bila ta'thil. Tanzih. And tanzih is to, is to purify, to deem holy, to free from any defect. Any defect. We free Allah from having any defect, any shortcoming, any weakness, any fault, and from having any resemblance whatsoever. And we do this without denying the attribute. Without denying the attribute. So we're not free Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from defects and from any resemblance in the likes like this or any comparison in a manner that will lead us to deny the attribute. No, we don't deny the attribute. We'll never deny something that Allah He affirmed for Himself, or that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam affirmed for Him, because we believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we'll never deny anything that is affirmed by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So then how do we affirm them? How do we believe in them? How do we free Allah from defects? How do we believe Allah He's pure and holy and free of any shortcoming or defect? Absolutely no resemblance to anything in the creation. We do that without denying the attribute. Without denying the attribute. So the meaning of the attributes, we know the meaning, as Imam Malik established in our previous class that we read, right? Yesterday morning. Al-istiwa' ma'lum. So al-yad ma'lum, al-wajh ma'lum, al-ilm ma'lum, al-rahma ma'lum, al-hayat ma'lum. You understand that? These attributes, they're known. We know what they mean. And hearing is not like seeing, and seeing is not like knowledge. These are different attributes. Hand is not like the foot, right? And in the these are, each one of these attributes, they're different from the other one. They're different from the other one. Knowledge is different from mercy, and mercy is different from loving, and loving is different from hating, and the likes like this. You understand? These are different attributes. These are different attributes. Fingers are different from face. Each one is a different attribute. We know what each attribute means initially in the Arabic language. Wadih? But we do not know how they are with regards to our Lord, because He did not tell us. You understand? So we affirm them as Allah affirmed them, without liking them to the creation. and we free him from any resemblance or defect or deficiency without denying the attribute. Without denying the attribute. Wadih, this is the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is the way of giving these rights to the names of Allah Azza wa Jalla as they deserve, and understanding them in the proper understanding. So the author, he mentioned here that al-ilhad, and in deviating in this manner with regarding Allah's names and attributes in his ayat, it comes in three types. But before we read that, we see there are several verses with regards to this, clarifying the dangers of al-ilhad. The dangers of al-ilhad bi asma'illahi al-husna wa sifatihi al-ula tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah, he mentioned in his book, walillahi al-asma'u al-husna fadu'uhu biha. And to Allah belong all of the most beautiful names, so call on him by way of them. وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ. And leave off those who deviate. Leave off those, turn away from them and their way, what they're upon, avoid them, don't be around them, nor listen to them, or read their books, or sit in their gatherings. وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ. And leave off الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ. Those who make ilhad in his name, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani those who belie the names or deny the names, or they utter impious speech about the names. I mean, they distort them in the manner that we have been discussing. They distort them in the manner that we have been discussing in the likes like this. And then Allah, he mentions, after ordering the believers to turn away from those people and to avoid those people, to not be in the company of those people, to not listen to those people who make ilhad, who deviate with regards to the names of Allah and his attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, sayujazawna ma kanu ya'maluna. Indeed, there will be recompense for what they used to do. There will be recompense, yani this is a threat for those people. This is a threat for those people. And likewise, with regards to the ayat of Allah, Allah, he mentioned in his book, inna alladhina yulhiduna fi ayatina la yakhfawna alayna. Indeed, those who make ilhad in our ayat, those who deviate, misinterpret, misunderstand, speak about the verses of Allah without knowledge, without giving them the rights that they deserve. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا لَا يَخْطُونَ عَلَيْنَا. Indeed, those people who make ilhad in our ayat, they're not hidden from us. They're not hidden from us. They're not hidden from us. This is a threat. This is a threat. Allah, he says, أَفَمَنْ يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ خَيْرٌ أَمَّنْ يَأْتِي آمِنًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Is the one who is cast in the hellfire better, or the one who comes safe, secure on the day of resurrection? Yeah. Which one is better? Huh? This one is better. What are we talking about? What's the verse talking about? About those who make ilhad in the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the verses of Allah Azza wa Jalla. إن الذين يلحدون في آياتنا لا يخفون علينا أفمن يلقى في النار خير أم يأتي آمنا يوم القيامة. And indeed, those who make ilhad, deviation in our ayat, they're not hidden from us. Is the one who is cast in the fire better, or the one who comes safe and secure on the day of resurrection? Allah, he says, اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Do whatever you like. Do whatever you like. Indeed, we are ever watchful. Indeed, we are the all-seeing, ever watchful over you. All-seeing, ever watchful over you. اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ. Do whatever you like. What does that mean? You just do whatever you like, it's all good. Or that's a threat. No, do whatever you like. You're going to come to us on the day of resurrection. We're going to take you to account. So work as you like. If you hope for the mercy of Allah and you want to be safe on the day of resurrection, do not make ilhad in the ayat. Don't make ilhad in the ayat. Don't deviate with regards to understanding the verses of Allah Azza wa Jalla and his signs and his beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. Rather, you must learn the way that's proper and correct, the way of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his noble companions radiallahu anhum, and understand the text in the light of that understanding, not the understanding of the latecomers, any of the later generations of the deviant and the misguided from the Jahmiya and the Mu'tazila and the Murji'a and the different deviant sects that stem from them, like the Asha'ira and the Maturidiyya and the rest of them. And the rest of them, rather, you must understand these texts in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah, the understanding of the Sahaba and the best of this Ummah. And the best of this Ummah. Because there's a threat with regards to this. So a person, he must learn that way. Likewise, in order to avoid ilhad, he must know what is ilhad. Right? He must know what is ilhad. What does it mean? That's why this question is of utmost importance. ما هو الإلحاد؟ ما ضد توحيد الأسماء والصفات؟ الإلحاد بها. What is the opposite of Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat? Is Ilhad, al-Ilhad biha. What does that mean? This is what we're discussing. This is what we're discussing. What does Ilhad mean? Al-Ilhad bil-Asma' al-Husna, al-Mayru, wal-Udulu biha, an al-Haq al-Thabiti laha. That one will deviate, will be inclined and turn away from giving the names, the rights that they, the right that they deserve. The right that they deserve. What is the right that they deserve? To believe in them, to believe in them, to honor them, and hold them high in regards, magnify these beautiful names, love them, and to believe in them in the manner that they came, and to affirm them, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam affirmed them, and his companions, radiallahu anhum, and those after them who followed them precisely. And the deviation away from that way occurs by making tahrif and ta'fil, and takyif and tanfih. Understand? So we don't do those affairs. So we must learn about these issues in order to avoid this affair. The Salaf, they would say, كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي مَنْ لَا يَدَّرِ مَا يَتَّقِي. How can somebody fear or avoid something? He doesn't know what it is. He doesn't know what it is. Don't make ilhad. What's that? Right? Don't make ilhad in the names of Allah, or in the ayat of Allah. There's a threat with regards to that. So if you don't know what that means, then maybe you'll do it when you didn't even perceive. Or maybe you'll fall into that while you think you're doing something right. And then I cite this one. This is why it's so important to learn and to seek knowledge, to have time for your religion, to have time for your deen, to learn the creed of Ahl Sunnah. So this ilhad, the author, he says that it occurs in three manners. Al-awwal, the first one, ilhadu al-mushrikeen, al-ladhina adalu bi-asma'i Allahi ta'ala amma hiya alayhi wa sammaw biha awthanahum, fazadu wa naqasu, fashtaqaw al-lata min al-ilah wal-uzza min Al-Aziz, one manat, min al-Mannan. The first way, he says the ilhad, the deviation of the polytheists, the mushrikeen. They deviated from the true meanings of the names of Allah and applied them to their idols. They altered them by addition and omission, subtracting, adding and taking away from these names, deriving names like al-Lat from al-Ilah. This is what's been mentioned about this term. There's more than one interpretation of this term. From that is what the author is referring to here. That أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاتَ ثَالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَىٰ سُورَةَ النَّجْمِ. Right? These are from the three most famous, well-known, and most honored and respected idols of the Arab in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَالْمَنَاتَ. Three of the most. There are many idols in those days, and these are from the greatest of them. These are from the greatest of them. So al-lat, it's mentioned that this is the feminine form. They derive from the word al-ilah. They call their god lat. And they derive from al-ilah. Al-ilah, and the true god. So they derive that from one of the names of Allah. Wal-uzza is a name for another idol that they have. Al-uzza is also feminine. It's a feminine form of the word. And it's mentioned that they derive that from the name of Allah, al-aziz. Al-aziz. So they call their god Uzza. Huh? You understand? And then likewise, Manat. Manat is another god that they have. And as I mentioned, that they derive that from Al-Mannan, the beautiful name of Allah, Al-Mannan. So Allah is Al-Ilah, Al-Ilah, Al-Haq. And Allah is Al-Aziz. And Allah is Al-Mannan. So they deviated with these names. And they said, oh, this god here, oh, that's Lat. And this god here, oh, that's Uzza, Uzza, and this guy here, that's Manat. That's Manat. So they deviated in these names, and they named their gods and their idols by way of them distorting the names, the actual names, by addition and omission, adding letters and taking letters away. الثاني, the second form. الحال المشبهة الذين يكيفون صفات الله تعالى ويشبهونها بصفات خلقه وهم مقابل لإلحاد المشركين. فأولئك سووا المخلوق برب العالمين وهؤلاء جعلوه بمنزلة الأجسام المخلوقة وشبهوه بها تعالى وتقدس. The second is إلحاد of the مشبهة, anthropomorphous, those who resemble Allah to the creation. These are those who attempt to define how Allah's attributes are and compare them to the attributes of His creation. You see that? So the mushabbiha, the one who makes tashbih, he's making takif. So the tashbih is takif. He's presenting it to the creation. So he is trying to imagine how. He's trying to imagine how. So the one who makes tashbih, he's making takif. He's resembling Allah by coming up with a form or a how or imagining the manner that the attribute is in his mind. But when he does that, the form of takif he's doing is by comparing it to the creation. So that's a specific type of takif called tashbih. Tashbih, tamthil, tamthil, tashbih, resembling. Resembling to the creation. So I said, this is the opposite of the polytheist deviation. This is the opposite of the previous one. The polytheists made the creation equal to the Lord of the worlds, whereas these have made the Lord resemble the created bodies. Right? You understand? They made their idols like Allah. Oh, that's Allah. Al-Ilah. This one is that. So now they're making their idols equals with Allah. But the people who resemble Allah to the creation, they're making Allah equal to the creation. So they're the opposite. These people are going like this, and these people are going like this. They're making their idols like this, and he's making him. They're making the Allah like. You understand? It's clear. So they're opposites. So the polytheists made the creation equal to the Lord of the worlds, whereas these have made the Lord resemble the created bodies. Exalted is He and far above what they claim. Exalted is He and far above what they claim. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-thalith, the third way, or the third type, ilhadun nufati al-mu'attila. The third is the ilhad, the deviation of the mu'attila. They're the negators and deniers. The mu'attila, the negators and deniers. The negators and the deniers, those who negate and deny the attributes. Wahum kisman. And they are two categories. And the mu'attila. There are two categories. Qismun athbatu al-fadha asma'ihi ta'ala wa nafaw anhu ma talamanathu min sifat al-kamal. فقالوا رحمن رحيم بلا رحمة عليم بلا علم سميع بلا سمع بصير بلا بصر قدير بلا قدرة وأطردوا بقيتها كذلك. So the third, the ilhad and the mu'tila, the deniers, the negators, they are two categories. A group that affirmed the words and names of Allah but denied what those names entail of perfect attributes. So they affirm the name. Yes, Allah is Al-Alim. Yes, Allah is Al-Sami'. Yes, Allah is Ar-Rahman. They affirm the name. That's His name, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they denied the attributes that they contain. So they said, Rahman and Rahim, the most gracious, the most merciful, without mercy. Alim, the all-knowing, without knowledge. Al-Sami', the all-hearing, without hearing. Al-Basir, the all-seeing, without sight. Al-Qadir, the all-powerful, without power. And they extended this denial to all of the rest of the attributes. Huh? You understand that? Does this even make sense? Does it even make sense? Subhanallah. What if somebody said that about your dad? Oh, he's very knowledgeable with no knowledge. Right? He's very nice, but no kindness. Right? Somebody said that about your father, right? All about you. You're not going to like that. How are you going to say that about the Lord of the worlds? Huh? The most knowledgeable with no knowledge. The all hearing with no hearing. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Right? If somebody said that, Subhanallah. You're so generous, but not generous. You're so kind, but no kindness. What are you talking about? Somebody goes, wait a minute. He's not gonna go for that. You can't talk about me like that. What are you talking about? He's not gonna like that. Maybe quiet. Don't talk about me like that. Right? They're talking about the Lord of the worlds like this. Subhanallah. Knowledge, but he's the most knowledgeable with no knowledge. The most merciful, but no mercy. Right? Why did they do that? Because if they say that Allah has mercy, they say, oh no, the creation has mercy. Now we're resembling Allah to the creation. Now we're resembling Allah to the creation. So, Allah, He can't have mercy. Because if He has mercy, then we resemble to the creation. And it's not allowed to resemble to the creation. So this is their problem. This is their problem. So he says, Rahimahullah, the second, وَقِسْمٌ صَرَّحُوا بنفي الأسماء ومتضمناتها بالكلية ووصفوه بالعدم المحض الذي لا اسم له ولا صفة سبحان الله وتعالى عما يقول الظالمون الجاحدون الموحدون علوا كبيرا رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما فاعبده واصطبر لعبادته هل تعلم له سميا Another group went further and outrightly denied the names of Allah and what they entail altogether, describing Him with absolute non-existence, without name or attribute. Exalted is Allah and far above what the wrongdoers disbelieve and deviators say. The Lord of the heavens and the earth and all that is between them. So worship Him, be constant and patient in His worship, persevere upon devotion and servitude. Do you know anyone who is similar to Him? There's nothing like unto Him, and He is the All-Hearer, the All-Seer. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ إِلْمًا. He knows what is before them and what is behind them, while they will never encompass anything of His knowledge. While they will never encompass anything of His knowledge. So some of them, they denied these attributes altogether. And they'll say, Allah, He's not above the creation, He's not below the creation, He's not on the right of the creation, He's not on the left of the creation, He's not inside of the creation, He's not outside of the creation. So in reality, what did they do? They denied Allah Azza wa Jal. What caused them to do that? They're running from making tamthil, tashbih. They do not want to resemble Allah to the creation. So they flee from that. So they wound up falling into that which is worse and more disgusting and more lowly. And that is that they resemble Allah to non-existence. You understand that? Because if you say, describe for me Adam, and Adam is something that doesn't exist, non-existence. Non-existence. If it doesn't exist, what do you say? It's not in the world, it's not outside of the world, it's not on the right, it's not on the left, it's not up, it's not down. Right? Khalas, then it doesn't exist. Right? It doesn't exist. So therefore, this is what they wind up doing, not resembling Allah to creation, any existence, but rather they resembled Him to non-existence. So the outcome of this is that it leads a person to believe that there's no Lord above the heavens. Understand that? That there's no Lord, there's no creator above the heavens. You understand that? This is what their creed leads them to believe. Yes.
So are they just straight from Kufar
then? Yeah, the Jahmiyyah, the people of knowledge declared them disbelievers. Yes, the Jahmiyyah, the original ones. But then some of the deviant sects that came from them, yani like the Asha'ira, for example, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he debated with them and debated with him and debated with them, and he was very just and also merciful in clarifying their ills and their mistakes and their falsehood and their doubts and misconceptions. And he would tell them, if I said what you said, I would disbelieve. But I do not declare you a disbeliever because of your ignorance and your doubts and misunderstandings. Understand? But some of them, that's like with the Asha'ira. So as I mentioned in the previous classes, Barakallahu Fikum, that the Jahmiyyah, there are many different deviant sects. So from the original Jahmiyyah, and who were kufar, the ones who claim the Quran was created, and other things likewise, stemming from that creed, many different sects. I mentioned a point that I hope that you understood. Some of them are better than others. You understand? They're all deviants, and they all deny the attributes of Allah, but some of them are better than others. Just like we spoke previously, likewise, about the people of shirk, right? And the people of the hellfire. So the disbelievers, all of them in the fire, right? But some of them are better off than others, although they're all in the fire and they'll never get out. But some of them are more severe in their punishment than others. So likewise, in the deviation of the people who ascribe to Islam, some of them are more severe than others. But they're all deviation. So by stating that this deviant sect is closer to the truth than this one, that's not praising them. This is just putting things in their proper place. So the Asha'ira, they're closer than a lot of the other ones to Ahl Sunnah in a lot of aspects, but they're deviant. They're deviant. They're from the deviant sects, right? And they deny the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla in more than one manner. In more than one manner. So he would debate with them. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he would debate with them. And this is what has been transmitted from him, that he would tell them that if I said what you said, I would disbelieve. But I do not declare you to be disbelievers because of the doubts that you have and the shubuhat, the ignorance that you're upon with regards to these affairs. With regards to these affairs. So no doubt, this is the point of the discussion now, that this is something very dangerous. This is something very dangerous. So this ta'atil here leads, this is what it leads them to. This is what it leads them to. And those who deny it in this manner, yes, this is the original Jahmiyyah. The Mu'attila, originally the Jahmiyyah. Those are the people of knowledge declared them to be disbelievers. Jahm ibn Safwan, many of the scholars of hadith of the Salaf, they declared him to be a disbeliever. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ مَنْ قَالَ الْقُرْآنُ مَخْلُوقٌ فَقَدْ كَفَرٌ. They were saying, فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. Whoever says that the Quran is created, he's a disbeliever. He's a disbeliever. And so those who deviant upon that way, they were declared disbelievers. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. And there was only exceptions made for certain individuals who were tried by them, who were tried by them, like some of the rulers who wound up saying that same creed and even imposing it or forcing it. But that was because they had deviant people around them, and they were misled by them, and they fell into their way. So Imam Ahmad, he did not declare the ruler to be a disbeliever, although he was imposing that creed. But those others who were upon that way and upon that knowledge, and they had insight with regards to what they're saying, then they were declared to be disbelievers. A number of them, وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. Those who claimed that Allah, he didn't speak to Musa, and that Allah, he didn't take Ibrahim as the Khalil, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the likes like this, and that Allah, he doesn't have hands. So, and that the Quran is created, it's not the speech of Allah. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. This is disbelief. This is disbelief. No doubt about that. So the ta'til here, yani this leads to the outcome, yani that there's no God above the heavens. There's no Rabb above the heavens that you surrender to, that you obey, and that you prostrate before, and that you humble yourself. That's what their creed leads to. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. They resembled Allah to Adam. Adam. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he has many works. From them, a work called Bada'i al-Fawa'id. Bada'i al-Fawa'id. And it's just like that. Bada'i. Bada'i is any the pull of Badi'i. And it's super amazing. But something that's amazing, just something that's Badi'i, yani it's so amazing and wonderful. So these are like amazing benefits. And it's about the tafsir of the Quran. Tafsir of the Quran, and likewise linguistic benefits, and so many benefits. Several volumes in this work here. He mentioned a number of different principles with regards to believing in the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. With regards to believing in the names of Allah, the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. From that, the issue of Ilhad, and he mentioned that in there. There's five. The author here, he mentioned three, but Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned five. And in addition to what is here, coming from the book of Ibn Qayyim, Bada' al-Fawaid, he added, At-tasmiya bima la yaliku bi jalalihi, ka tasmiyati an-nasara lahu aban, wa falasifa mujiban bi dhatihi. Mujiban bi dhatihi. Also from Ilhad, in the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, is to call Allah by names that are not befitting for Him. To call Allah by names that are not befitting for Him. Like the Christians, what do they call Allah? The Father. A'udhu billah, the Father. They call Allah the Ab. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is not befitting for Allah Azza wa Jalla that He's called the Ab. He's called the Father. This is Ilhad. Fi asma'illahi husna subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also like the philosophers, they call Allah Mujibu bidatihi, the one who's obligatory by His essence. And He's obligatory by His essence. And he meaning that His existence is an obligation, which no doubt, but this is not what you call Allah. You don't call Allah by these names. Call Allah by the names that he called Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also from those ways of Ilhad, وَوَصْفُهُ بِمَا أَنْهُ يَتَعَالَى وَيَتَقَدَّسَ كَوَصْفِ الْيَهُودِ بِأَنَّهُ فَقِيرٌ وَأَنَّهُ تَعِبَ وَاسْتَرَاحَ وَأَنَّهُ تَعِبَ وَاسْتَرَاحَ. And also to describe Allah with that which is not befitting for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Jews did. Like the Jews did. They said, Yadullah, Yadullahi maghloola. They said the hands of Allah are tied up. Meaning Allah is bakhir. Qad sami Allahu qawla alladhina qalu, inna Allaha faqirun wa nahnu aghniya. Qad sami Allahu qawla alladhina qalu, inna Allaha faqirun wa nahnu aghniya. Indeed, Allah, He heard the statement of those who said, Allah is poor and we are rich. Allah is poor and we are rich. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. This is what they said about their Lord. They said that Allah's hands is tied up and He's stingy. He's stingy. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. This is what they said about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Jews. May Allah give them what they deserve. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Yani they heard the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Who is the one who alone Allah beautiful loan? Who alone Allah beautiful loan? Said, oh, Allah is poor. He needs a loan. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is what they say about their Lord. This is what they say about their Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked to learn a beautiful long, any meaning for the benefit of your own soul. For the benefit of your own soul. Allah, He provided for you. Allah, He provided for you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is for the benefit of your own soul. Of your own soul. So also they claim that Allah got tired, right? And He had to take a break, right? Created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Then after that, He was a little bit tired, had to rest. Right? That's what they claim, huh? وَيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ Allah, he refused it. وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبِ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبِ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبِ Allah, He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and we did not get tired. وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبِ We did not get tired. It doesn't make us tired. وَلَا يُؤْدُوا حِفْظُهُمَا He doesn't get sleepy or tired or doesn't get worn out from preserving them or protecting them. He doesn't take a break. He doesn't need a rest. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is it had likewise in his attributes. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to finish this portion now. Insha'Allah. This is the last part about al-imanu billahi azza wa jal. And the author he mentioned in this work, rahimahullah. Su'al. Question. Hal jami'u anwa' al-tawhidi mutalazimatun? Hal jami'u anwa' al-tawhid mutalazimah? Fayunafiha kulluha ma yunafi naw'an minha? Are all these types of tawheed, the oneness of Allah, interconnected, such that violating one of them entails violating the others. And if you violate the rights of the beautiful names, did you violate the rububi? And if you violate the rububi, did you violate the uluhiyya? If you violate the uluhiyya, did you violate the rububi? If you violate the rububi, did you violate the asma wa sifat? You understand? Are they all connected? Yes, it's all one. So this is not separate part, right? This is the question here. Al-jawab, the answer. نعم هي متلازمة فمن أشرك في نوع منها فهو مشرك في البقية Yes, they are interconnected. Whoever commits shirk, associates partners in one type of tawheed, he is thereby a polytheist in the rest of them. He's thereby a polytheist in the rest of them. مثال ذلك دعاء غير الله وسؤاله ما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله He said, for example, calling upon other than Allah and asking them for what only Allah can grant. This is the example, right? Making dua. Calling on other than Allah and something that only Allah can grant. Or calling on other than Allah for something that they can grant, but they can't hear you because they're dead or far away. This is all the same issue, right? You understand? So he says, Rahimahullah, like this. فدعاؤه إياه عبادة بل مخ العبادة صرفها لغير الله من دون الله فصرفها لغير الله من دون الله فهذا شرك في الإلهية He said this act of supplication dua is worship itself in fact it's the essence of worship so directing it to other than Allah constitutes shirk and uluhiyya Taking the right of Allah to be worshipped alone and giving it to someone else, like making dua to them in this manner, this is shirk in uluhiyyah, right? Because it's directly related to ibadah. The shirk in uluhiyyah. He says, وَسُؤَالُهُ إِيَّهُ تِلْكَ الْحَاجَةَ مِنْ جَلْبِ خَيْرٍ أَوْ دَفِي شَرٍ مُعْتَقِدًا أَنَّهُ قَادِرٌ عَلَى قَضَاءِ ذَلِكَ هَذَا شِرْكٌ فِي الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ حَيْثُ اعْتَقَدَ أَنَّهُ مُتَصَرِّفٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ فِي مَلَكُوتِهِ حيث اعتقد أنه متصرف مع الله في ملكوته. If the person believes that the one being invoked has the ability to bring benefit or prevent harm independently, then this becomes shirk in rububiyyah. So now he's making dua to the grave. Why? Because he believes in the one in the grave can save him. You understand that? So now nobody can save you except Allah. We've seen in the previous, Allah huwa al-nafi' al-dhar. Allah, he's the one who benefits Allah, he's the one who harms. Right? He's the one who benefits Allah. He's the one who harms. No one can benefit you except with the permission of Allah. No one can harm you except with the permission of Allah. You want to be safe from harm, you have to seek it from Allah. You want to have any benefit, you have to seek it from Allah. You seek it from Allah. So by believing that there's something in the creation that can protect you or harm you or save you, this is making a partner with Allah and His Lordship. It is Allah who has the power and authority, His Lordship and command. He's the one who saves and He's the one who harms. Understand? So now, They're making shirk here by calling on this man, by calling on the grave. That's shirk and ibadah. And his reason, the reason why he's calling on the grave is because he has a creed in the one in the grave. Believing that he has some share in controlling and disposing of the affairs of the creation, he can benefit him, so he calls on him. He can save him and protect him, so he calls on him. So the creed itself that led him to call on him besides Allah is shirk in rububiyyah. Wallah. This is what he's saying, rahimahullah ta'ala. So if the person believes that the one being invoked has the ability to bring benefit or prevent harm independently, this becomes shirk in rububiyyah, oneness of his worship. For he believes that this being has power over the universe alongside Allah. Alongside Allah. Even some of them are even worse than that. Some of them, they say that the wadi can create the fetus in the womb. The wadi can create the fetus in the womb. But he doesn't do it because he's afraid of mixing up the lineage. Some of the stuff that they say. This is some of the stuff. You read this in their books. The books of the Sufi and the deviant grave worshippers, waliyad billah, this is what they claim. The deviant from them, the extreme from them, the ghulat, the Sufi, waliyad billah. They make claims like this. They make claims like this. In khurafat, folklore, and lies. Lies, waliyad billah. They believe in lies. They believe in lies. Never want to believe in lies. I used to believe in lies. Alhamdulillah, I don't believe in lies anymore. I accepted Islam. Understand that? Alhamdulillah, we accepted Islam from the grace of Allah. All right? They used to tell us that if you lose a tooth, if you lose a tooth and you wake up in the morning, there's going to be a dollar under your pillow. A fairy came. They used to tell us a fat man came down the chimney. Well, I haven't got a chimney. Never had a chimney when I was young. Right? They said the fat man came down the chimney and brought some presents. So they believe in lies. Their whole deen is lies. Their whole customs is lies. They're raised upon believing in lies. And Muslims, we do not believe in lies. And the Sunnah do not believe in lies. They believe in haqq. They believe in the Quran and the Sunnah, as understood by the Sahaba, the best of this Ummah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, hamdan kathiran, tayyiban mubarakan fi. Alhamdulillah, hamdan kathiran, tayyiban mubarakan fi. So we don't believe in lies. We don't believe in lies. Allah save us from that. Allah save us from that. So these people, they believe in lies. They believe that a dead man is going to save them. Astaghfirullah. A dead man? Why didn't he save himself? Why didn't he save himself? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allahumma stan. Allahumma stan. If a person believes that one being invoked has the ability to bring benefit or prevent harm independently, then this becomes shirk and rububiyyah. For he believes that this being has power over the universe alongside Allah. ثُمَّ إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَدْعُهُ هَذَا الدُّعَاء مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَعْ اعْتِقَادِهِ أَنَّهُ يَسْمَعُهُ عَلَى الْبُعْدِ وَالْقُرْبِ فِي أَيِّ وَقْتٍ كَانَ وَفِي أَيِّ مَكَانٍ وَيُصَرِّحُونَ بِذَلِكَ وَهُوَ الشِّرْكُ فِي الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ حَيْثُ أَثْبَتَ لَهُ سَمْعًا مُحِيطًا بِجَمِيعِ الْمَسْمُوعَاتِ لَا يَحْجُبُهُ قُرْبٌ وَلَا بُعْدٌ. Moreover, the one who makes such a supplication, moreover, the one who makes such a supplication to other than Allah, does so believing that the one called upon hears him from afar or near, at any time and from any place. And they often state this clearly. This is shirk in the asma' wa sifat, the oneness of Allah's names and attributes, because he affirms for this being a hearing that encompasses all sounds, unrestricted by nearness or distance. You understand that? So the person who's calling on Jailani, wherever he may be, in Iraq or here or there, Al-Jailani, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, Abdul Qadir Jailani, or they call on Al-Badri, or they call on Hussein, and they claim Hussein is in Iraq, and the others they say, no, no, he's in Egypt. And the others say, no, his grave is in Sham. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. You find them in Sham, and they're worshipping the grave. They claim it's Hussein. Then they say, and then you find them in Egypt, they're worshiping a grave, they claim it's Hussein. And then you find them in Iraq, they're worshiping a grave. So how the man is in three different graves? Wallahi, I've been informed that some of the people they play games with the likes of these people, and they'll bury dogs or donkeys. They say, this is Sidi Fulan. This is the grave of the wali, so and so. Even they say they'll bury a dog there and say, this is the grave of Kulayb, Sidi Kulayb. Astaghfirullah. And they get money. What do they do that for? And they say, oh, this is the grave. It's a donkey in there. Or even there's nothing in there. And then somebody will sit by the grave and take care of the grave and keep it nice. And the people just come and break him off. Here, Dad. Here's some money. And he's just getting rich off of deviating them in their creed with the other billah. deviating them and decreed waliyat billah. So they believe that he's calling on this man and he's in another land. He's in another land. Or he's dead. Or he's dead and in another land. Or he never even learned the English language and you're calling on him, save me, save me, save me. Right? So now you believe that he can hear you from a distance. He has the hearing of the all hearing. Yeah, you understand? He has the hearing of the all hearing. And then he had, then you're calling him and he's calling him and he's calling him. It doesn't bother him. He can understand all of that. It's not mixed up in his mind because he has the absolute hearing and ability. And then on top of that, he knows all languages. So therefore, you have given him the attributes of the Rabb, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's shirk in what? The names and attributes. Shirk in the names and attributes. So calling on other than Allah violates tawheed from every aspect. Calling on other than Allah violates tawheed from every aspect. There's no tawheed left. You understand that? Calling on other than Allah, the one who does that, the tawheed goes away in entirety. Tawheed al-asma al-husna, tawheed al-rububiyyah, tawheed al-huluhiyyah, it's gone. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. There's no tawheed left. That's why calling on other than Allah, so inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. The most gracious, the most kind, the most merciful, the most forgiving, the one who often accepts repentance, the all pardoning. Inna Allah afuun yuhibbul afu. He is the most pardoning. He loves to pardon. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. But he does not forgive this one. He does not forgive for those who die upon it. For those who die upon it. So shirk is a major affair. So violating the rights of one of these aspects violates the tawheed in entirety. You understand? Violating the rights of one of these aspects violates the tawheed in entirety. I think that the example is clear. Doctrine, he says, Rahimahullah, فَاسْتَلْزَمَ هَذَا الشِّرْكُ فِي الْإِلَهِيَّ الشِّرْكَ فِي الرُّبُوبِيَّ وَالْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ. Thus, this shirk and uluhiyah, calling on other than Allah, inevitably leads to shirk and rububiyyah and al-asma' wa-sifat. And the asma' wa-sifat. We understand that? Alhamdulillah. This right here is the end of what the author mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, with regards to al-imanu billah. Al-imanu billah. Because we're still on that one portion, right? When he says, maratib al-deen. Right? Again, maratib al-deen. ثلاثة مراتب الدين ثلاثة مراتب three levels right الإسلام والإيمان والإحسان we finished الإسلام and we started الإيمان we touched on a number of points from that and then we began with الإيمان يعني كم ركن للإيمان how many pillars are there للإيمان ستة right الإيمان بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله واليوم الآخر الإيمان بالقدر خيره وشره and then we just finished the first one الإيمان بالله after that is the second pillar from Iman, which is Al-Iman Bil-Malaika. Al-Iman Bil-Malaika. But before that, inshallah, this evening I have some paper, some research that I have prepared from different works with regards to these beautiful names and attributes and the methodology of the Salaf and some statements from the early generations and later with regards to this creed that we're discussing. So it can be affirmed in our hearts that which we're studying from these principles, no tahrif, no ta'til, no takif, no tashbih, no tamthil, and the likes like this, this is not something that came from Sheikh Ibn Baz or Sheikh Al-Albani. It's not something that came from Sheikh Al-Islam or Ibn Qayyim. It's not something that came from Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab or Sheikh Al-Islam or Ibn Qayyim. It's not something that came yani from me before that. It goes all the way back. All the way back to the first generations, this is what they were. It goes all the way back to Al-Qurun al-Mufaddala. We'll find narrations in the books of Hadith establishing these affairs from the best generations, making the same statements that we're discussing now. It's a methodology in a way that's traversed. It's a methodology in a way that's clear. It's a methodology in a way that's known. Even we've seen yesterday an example of that by Al-Imam Malik, who died in the year 179. 179. That means he's from the Tabi'een. So he's in the generations, the best three generations. He's from the best of the Imams of the Sunnah, right? And that he said about the Istiwa, Istiwa ma'lum, wal kayfu majhul, wal imanu bihi wajib, wa su'al anhu bid'ah. This is the methodology. The meaning of Istiwa, rising above the throne. We know what that means. How Allah did that, we don't know what that means. We don't know how He did that. So the meaning, we affirm it. How? We don't know. We entrust it to Allah. To believe it is an obligation because Allah, he said that about himself. And to ask about how, this is a deviation. This is an innovation because the Sahaba, they never did that. They never did that. You understand? So this is an example of that. But there are many more. There are many more narrations from the Salaf and from the early generations establishing this clear path and understanding the text of the beautiful names and lofty attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. I hope that we all understand now the gravity of this affair and the importance of this affair, the creed of a Tawheed. And from that is the issue of the names and attributes of the Most High Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.